Welcome to Water of the Word, the radio ministry of Pastor Steve Hadley of Harvest Family Fellowship in Reno. Join us today as Pastor Steve continues through a verse-by-verse study of the wonderful Old Testament book of 1 Kings. Old Testament pictures illustrate and model New Testament truths. Today, as we learn more about the foundational history of God's people and the nation of Israel, we'll also see that the people, the problems, and God's supernatural interventions are not so different from our lives today. With so many challenges coming against God's church and God's people, we need the right spiritual tools and biblical insights to stand firm and overcome. Pastor Steve's study in 1 Kings will show us some very practical tools that may be used powerfully in these last days. So come on along. May we all be refreshed and inspired as we are washed by the water of the Word.
Now with that in mind, now back to 1 Kings chapter 1, verse 7 one more time. Adonijah, whose name badge reads, "Hey, Jesus is my God too. I go to church just like you, fella. But what are you doing? I'm conferring with Joab, who I happen to know has a little heartburn against David. And Zeruiah, who I know has a little heartburn." Verse 8. "But Zadok the priest, Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, Nathan the prophet, Shimei, Rea, and the mighty men who belonged to David, they weren't invited." Verse 9. "Then Adonijah sacrificed sheep and oxen and fatted cattle by the stone of Zoleth, which is by En Rogel," which is one of the springs. There were two main springs feeding the people of Jerusalem. En Rogel was one of them. "He also invited all of his brothers and the king's son and all the men of Judah and the king's servants." You know what he's doing the sacrifices for? He is crowning himself as king. That's what he's doing. Verse 10. "But he did not invite Nathan." Who's Nathan, you guys? That's the prophet. I wrote in my margin, "God's accurate word." Who is Benaiah? Anybody remember? 2 Samuel 23, verse 20. This is the guy that went down into a pit on a snowy day, and he killed a what? Do you remember what it was? A lion. Put your Jesus glasses on. 1 Peter 5, verse 8. "Be sober, be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring..." I wrote in my Bible, I hope it's not too much license, I wrote, "Fruit." Here is a guy following David. The fruit of obedience is on his life. So the word of God, accurate word of God, represented by Nathan, he didn't get invited to this meeting. And this Benaiah, this mighty man who demonstrated fruit of righteousness, he didn't get invited either. Or Solomon, his brother, God's biblical authority, as we're going to see. When rebellion is at work, and Jehovah is my God too, is calling the meeting, God's accurate word, men of demonstrated biblical fruit over time, and God's biblical authority are never invited. Have you noticed? Who usually does show up? The discontent. Those who have been corrected or even told no. Those who haven't gotten their way. And it never looks this way at first. But where does this rebellious group always end up, everybody? Be careful when you find yourself discontented with almost anything in your life. Harumph you find yourself doing. Shifting in your seat. I don't like it here. I don't like this job. I don't like my supervisor. I don't like this church. I don't like that guy. Oh, be careful, loved one. Paul said, "I have learned to be content." Isn't that one of the fruits of the Spirit? Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, etc., self-control. Be careful when you find that little tiger and you just kind of rolling around going, "I don't like it here." And when they kind of got on Moses' case, way to go, Mo. You brought us out here to the desert because really what you want to do is kill us. Seriously? That's why God parted the Red Sea? And God says to Moses, Moses, don't worry about it, bro. Don't worry about it. They're not really talking against you. They're really having a problem with me. Please remember that wherever God has us is for a reason and a purpose. How do we believe that the steps of a righteous man are ordered by the Lord? What about the stops? I believe the stops are too. Everybody's your friend when you're telling them yes. They love you for that. Can we do this? Yes. Praise God for that, Pastor. Can we do this over here? Yes. Awesome. It's when we hear from our authority, be it at work or any place else, when we go, can we do it? And they go, no. Boy, I tell you, the flashlight of God's word comes right in our heart. Ooh. What's going on in there, Steve? Discontentment. If we don't deal with discontent, realizing, wait a minute, who's doing the driving here? If I don't learn to tell the flesh, shut up, and I will bloom right here I'm planted. If you don't get to that place, dissatisfaction then rolls into its next phase, complaining. Complaining, if you don't watch out, then you're going to get right into triangulation. And then what are you going to do? Like the book of Hebrews tells us, watch out for a root of bitterness. Because it defiles how many? Many. If we don't get discontentment under control, under the authority of God, then we're going to move to complaining. And if we don't get complaining done, watch out. Complaining always leads to active rebellion. And rebellion always, everybody say always, leads to shipwreck. You guys have been in and around the church a very, very, very long time, 30 plus years. I'm telling you, this is how it goes. Adonijah's name badge says, I'm a Christian just like you, pal. I hear God too, and I have a case for being the king. He confers with Joab, etc. And he brings them, wins them to their side. Was it a strategic move? Absolutely. Joab had a lot of juice, a lot of pull in the area. The one-time general of David. But was he the general any longer? Nope. That was a burr under his saddle. Unified animosity, you guys. It's as real as water runs downhill. Whenever God is doing a work, the enemy will never leave it uncontested. Who does the enemy use? He doesn't use a wolf who looks and smells and sounds like a wolf. He walks in the door, if he had a name badge that said wolf, and he smelled like a wolf and had big wolfish teeth, you'd be all, I know who you are, you wolf. The enemy is not stupid. He uses someone who's got an angst, who's got a bump, who's been told no. In some case, they didn't get their way. They didn't deal with their discontentment, and discontentment moved to complaining. And the complaining wasn't dealt with in an appropriate manner. It moved to out-and-out rebellion. And the people that went with them in rebellion end up shipwrecked. Maybe not today. Maybe not next week, maybe not next month. But loved one, please hear me say, if you go with that crowd, you're going to get that on you. Verse 11. So Nathan spoke to Bathsheba, the mother of Solomon, saying, have you not heard that Adonijah, the son of Haggith, has become king? Did you hear that one? David, our Lord, does not know it. Please come and let me now give you advice that you may save your own life. Because if Adonijah becomes king, what's going to happen to Solomon, you guys? He's going to kill him. And that was common practice. And he's going to kill Solomon's mom, too. and the life of your son Solomon. Verse 13. Go immediately to King David and say to him, did you not, my lord, O king, swear to your maidservant, saying, assuredly, your son Solomon shall reign after me, and he shall sit on my throne? In other words, David had already made his will known. Who was going to be the next king of Israel? Solomon was. Why then has it not Adonijah become king? Then while you are still talking there with the king, I also will come in after you and confirm your words. So Bathsheba went into the chamber of the king. Now the king was very old, and Abishag, that's the bed warmer, the Shunammite, was serving the king. And Bathsheba bowed and did homage to the king. And the king said, what is your wish? Then she said to him, my lord, you swore by the Lord your God to your maidservant, that's me, saying, assuredly Solomon your son shall reign after me, and he shall sit on my throne. So God's biblical authority is to pass to Solomon. And Adonijah knew that. Verse 18. So now look, Adonijah has become king. And now, my lord the king, you do not know it. He has sacrificed oxen and fatted cattle and sheep in abundance, and has invited all the sons of the king, Abathar the priest, and Joab the commander of the army. But Solomon your servant wasn't invited. And as for you, my lord, O king, the eyes of all Israel are now on you, that you should tell them who will sit on the throne of my lord the king after him. Otherwise, it will happen when my lord the king rests with his fathers that I and my son will be counted as offenders. In other words, they're going to kill us. Verse 22. And just then, while she was still talking with the king, Nathan the prophet also came in. So they told the king, saying, here is Nathan the prophet. And when he came in before the king, he bowed down before the king with his face to the ground. And Nathan said, my lord, O king, have you said Adonijah shall reign after me, and he shall sit on my throne? That's a rhetorical question. What's the answer? No way! Verse 25. For he has gone down today and has sacrificed oxen and fatted cattle and sheep in abundance, and has invited all the king's sons and the commanders of the army and Abathar the priest. And look, they are eating and drinking before him. They're saying, long live King Adonijah. But he has not invited me, your servant, nor Zadok the priest, nor Benaniah, there's my man, fruit over time, the son of Jehoiada, nor your servant Solomon, who is the rightful king. Has this thing been done by my lord the king, and have you not told your servant who should sit on the throne of my lord the king after me? What's the answer? Yeah. Write in your margin, 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 19. Do not receive, says Paul to Timothy, an accusation against an elder, except from two or three witnesses. Those who are, rebuke them in the presence of all, that the rest may fear. Are we never to be critical of church leadership? The answer is, if they're not being biblical, absolutely. And you are supposed to bring someone who can, with you, see the same thing. Remember, even if Jehovah is my God too, is saying nice things to you, don't forget, they are not seeking a right witness. Why? Because there are seven abominations in their heart. Verse 28. Then King David answered and said, what? Oh, no, he didn't. Call Bathsheba to me. So she came into the king's presence and stood before the king. And the king took an oath and said, as the Lord lives, who has redeemed my life from every distress, just as I swore to you by the Lord God of Israel, saying, assuredly Solomon your son shall be king after me, and he shall sit on my throne in my place, so I certainly will do this day. Then Bathsheba bowed her face to the earth, paid homage to the king, and said, let my lord King David live forever. And the King David said, call to me Zadok the priest. There's a witness again, Deuteronomy 19:15. Nathan the prophet, the accurate word of God. Benaniah the son of Jehoiada, men with demonstrated fruit over time. So they came before the king, and the king also said to them, take with you the servants of your Lord, and have Solomon, my son, ride on my own valiant steed. What does it say there, you guys? It's a mule. Why? Because that's so how God does it. A mule is an animal of service, not conquering. And take him down to Gihon. There are two springs, as I said. Gihon is the different one. The first party is going on at the other spring, and there's Adonijah saying, I'm the king. Joab's going, go king, go king. Well, there's another spring, Gihon. You know what Gihon means? It means second. What do you mean? Two springs are provided most of the water of Jerusalem in Rogel, like I said. That's where Adonijah was having his party. And this one, Gihon Spring, the second one. The first people, the first spring was trying to anoint the wrong king. The second king is recognized by Israel. Do you see a little pattern here? The first one, if you will, who comes in his own name, perhaps a model of the Antichrist. There, let Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet anoint him king over Israel and blow the horn and say, long live King Solomon. Then you shall come up after him, and he shall come and sit on my throne, and he shall be king in my place. For I have appointed him to be the ruler of Israel and Judah. This is the rightful king. Verse 36. Benaniah the son of Jehoiada answered the king and said, amen. May the Lord God of my Lord, the king, say so too. As the Lord has been with my Lord the king, if you will, fruit, I've seen it on you, David. Even so may he be with Solomon, and make his throne greater than the throne of my Lord King David. Verse 38, so Zadok the priest, Nathan the prophet, so Zadok the priest, if you will, who is responsible for the Levitical things, there's your witness. Nathan the prophet, the active and accurate word of God. Benaniah the son of Jehoiada, there's your men with fruit over time. The Cherethites and the Pelethites, if you check those up, those are David's mighty men. They went down and had Solomon ride on King David's mule and took him to Gihon. Then Zadok the priest took the horn of oil from the tabernacle, anointed Solomon. And they blew the horn, and all the people said, long live King Solomon! And all the people went up after him. And the people played flutes and rejoiced with great joy, so that the earth seemed to split with their sound. Big, big shout. Now remember, just over the wall to the east is what? Is the other spring. Party, gonna party, go Adonijah. Verse 41, now Adonijah and all of his guests who were there at the first spring, they heard it as they finished eating. And when Joab heard the sound of the horn, he said, why is the city in such a noisy uproar? While he was still speaking, there came Jonathan, the son of Abathar, the priest. And Adonijah said to him, well, come on in, what's going on? For you are a prominent man and bring good news. Jonathan answered and said to Adonijah, afraid not. Our king David has made Solomon king. The king has sent him with Zadok the priest, Nathan the prophet, there again, the witness, the accurate word of God, and the men of tried fruit over time, and the Cherethites and the Pelethites. These are David's mighty men. And they have made him ride on the king's mule. Uh-oh. So Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet have joined him, have anointed him king at Gihon, and they have gone up from there rejoicing. That's why the city is in an uproar. And this is the noise that you have heard. And I wrote my Bible. Busted! Remember Proverbs 26 I told you about? If we would have kept reading, he who hates disguises it with his lips and lays up deceit within himself. And when he speaks kindly, don't believe him. You're awesome. You're this, you're that. You should come with us. We know better. Don't believe him. Because there's actually seven abominations in his heart. Here's what the rest of that verse says. Verse 26. And though his hatred is covered by deceit, his wickedness will be revealed before the assembly. Has Adonijah been busted? Verse 46, and we're almost done. And moreover, the king's servant have gone to bless our Lord King David, saying, may God make the name of Solomon better than your name, and may he make his throne greater than your throne. Then the king bowed himself on the bed. So all the guests who were with Adonijah were afraid, and they arose, and each one went his way. And that's how it goes. When people bond around rebellion, because they want their own way and they won't submit to God, they're not going to submit to each other either. Ephesians 5:19, we're supposed to be speaking to another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in our hearts to the Lord, giving thanks always in all things to God. Contentment. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another. And if someone is joining around the bond, if you will, of rebellion, they don't want to really come under the Lord, so they're not going to come under anybody else. And usually in that group, you'll find that there'll be vying for who's the leader of that group. Verse 50. Now Adonijah was afraid of Solomon, so he arose, he went and took hold of the horns of the altar. He ran into the tabernacle, and he grabbed the horns of the altar, the brazen altar. And he was told to Solomon, saying, well, Adonijah, he's not too kingly right now. He's shaking in his sandals, and he's afraid of King Solomon. For look, he has taken hold of the horns of the altar, saying, let King Solomon swear to me today that he will not put his servant to death with the sword. Did Adonijah deserve death? Yeah. Then Solomon said, okay, if he proves himself a worthy man, not one hair of him shall fall to the earth. But if wickedness is found in him, he will die. So King Solomon sent him to bring him down from the altar. And he came, and he fell before King Solomon. Solomon said to him, go to your house. What is Solomon doing? Titus 3 verse 10 says, reject a divisive man after the first and second admonition. Why? Knowing that such a person is warped and sinning, being self-condemned. What does that mean? They're blowing up their lives. It's God's mercy and protecting the flock that God says, you've got to separate those people from your midst. Because actually, there are seven abominations just under the surface. New Testament principle, it's only a matter of time until this guy's fruit is going to say exactly who he is. Oh, King Solomon, I'm so very, very sorry. Have mercy. And he's going to give him mercy. Join us next week. And where do you think Adonijah is going to go next? There is nothing new under the sun, Solomon would ultimately pen one day. And people are people. And when God is doing the work, the enemy sees to it that he can find somebody who's just discontent. And what does he do? He blows on their pride, swells them up with, I don't deserve this. And sure enough, if they don't do their homework, discontent will move to complaining. Complaining will move ultimately to out and out rebellion. The rebels will get everybody they can to go with them, and pretty soon you have a great big meeting of rebels. All the while, God says, you're on a collision course for destruction. So Lord, I lift up all of us here at Harvest. There's none of us immune from this. May we be people of the book, Lord, in Jesus' name, realizing that especially when you are moving in our lives in the supernatural, we're going to be surprised when the Adonijah, we had no idea he was an Adonijah. His name badge read, I'm Jesus' servant too, but their fruit will bear them out. As we will see next week with our boy Adonijah. In Jesus' name, Lord, let us follow you in the example of our Lord Jesus Christ. And everybody said, amen.
You've been listening to the book of 1 Kings with Pastor Steve Hadley of Harvest Family Fellowship in Reno. We hope these Old Testament truths have been helpful models of just how powerfully God works right now in the life and ministry of every believer. If you missed any of today's message or would like to hear it in its full unedited format, you can watch this or any of Pastor Steve's teachings at our website. Just visit us at harvestreno.org. That's www.harvestreno.org. Come join us Sundays at 10:30 and Wednesday evenings at 6:30. Harvest is located at 350 South Rock Boulevard in Reno. Until next time, Pastor Steve encourages all of us to follow Acts 2:42 and Word, Worship, Prayer, and Fellowship every day. May the Lord bless you and keep you as we are washed by the water of the Word.